Belgian Confession, Article 5, the Bible, a most precious gift. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in the West, the works of Shakespeare, or John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, or the works of Charles Dickens, are regarded as classic pieces of literature. They're of excellent literary quality, and they will remain for a long time, but these great works can be surpassed in the future. Furthermore, these works, as great as they were, are not always accurate. They were not always accurate. Some of them were racist. Some treated women in a very lowly manner. Taking socialism as well has been proven to be faulty. And some so-called science turned out to be not as accurate. In fact, some were quite fraudulent. You read some of the old medical treatments they had for people just a couple hundred years ago, that now you will probably be charged for trying out some of those things. So, good as they were, and are, they're still not good enough. They may be surpassed. Some are just downright wrong. The Bible, on the other hand, has never been surpassed. The Bible is perfectly accurate and authoritative and never has to be changed. So what makes the Bible so amazing, so beautiful, so astounding, so accurate, so authoritative when compared with the greatest writers and their messages? Well, this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are four. The headings are: the Bible is holy and from God. Second, the Bible is a source of your faith. Third, the Bible is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And fourth, the Bible proves its dignity and authority. Our goals are that you will fully grasp the greatness of God's love to you by giving you his infallible word, word without any mistakes, and that you will then begin to serve him more faithfully as you study it. Well, Belgic Confession, Article 5, let's read it together. We receive all these books, and these only, as holy and canonical, for the regulation, foundation, and confirmation of our faith, believing without doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but more especially because the Holy Spirit witnesses in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they carry the evidence thereof in themselves. For the very blind are able to perceive that the things foretold in them are being fulfilled. The Bible is holy and from God. That's why you should trust it more than anything else in this world. Now, to consider the value of a gift, you will normally have to consider who the giver is. If your husband gives you a gift, you would gladly accept it and cherish it. Why? Because he loves you. You know him. That's a good reminder with Valentine's Day coming up. Now, if a thief gives you a gift, you would reject it, and you have good reason to do so. You would not like what he did. And you surely don't want to have stolen property in your possession. And then you think of the Bible, this precious gift that God gave to you. God is holy. God is perfect. And in his grace, he gave the Bible as his gift to his children. And you simply receive what he's given to you. You know who he is. You know his nature. You know his love. And you receive it. Look at how this is described for us in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2b together. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So, Old Testament, God spoke by the prophets. Now God has spoken to us by his Son. And because you know that God is perfect and that God is holy and that God is your creator and that God loves you, you know he's going to give you a good gift, a perfect gift. And he gave us that book because it describes for us how Jesus Christ came to save. We would never have known that if it were not for the Word of God. And Jesus and the Word of God became so closely tied that Jesus is even called the Word of God. John 1 and verse 1 and verse 14, let's read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word of God is a reflection of what Christ would do and how he would save us from our sins. It's that only thing that will do it. On the other hand, many people try to attack the perfection of the Bible. I'll look at three common things that people do. First of all, some try to slip in a few words in the Bible to change it. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you read from John chapter 1, and they would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They put in a word there that shouldn't be there. And they changed the meaning of it, that Jesus was really like a demigod, sort of a semi-godlike figure, but he wasn't really God. Then there are some who try to change the Bible by redefining what it is, or by twisting some of the words with new and inventive interpretation. For example, people would say, well, in the Bible, of course, women were not allowed to be elders, but today, women are allowed to be elders because, of course, back then, women were dumb. Which, of course, is not true at all. The Bible shows that there were prominent women, educated women. You think of that woman that's mentioned in Proverbs 31. That was not just an ordinary woman. So they were very, that's the way they will redefine things. Or they might say, for example, well, you see, in the Bible it says there's neither male nor female. So it doesn't matter who you married. Homosexuality then is okay because the Bible says there's neither male nor female. They forget the context, or they ignore the context in which that was written. So they can change the definition of the Bible while accepting the face value of the words that are there. And then there's a third thing some do. Some bring other books alongside of the Bible. And this is very common in the cults. You read about the Jehovah's Witnesses, where they bring books alongside of the Bible, or the Seventh-day Adventists, bringing in the writings of their founder. And they don't say it's the same, but they treat it like it's equal to the Scriptures. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon, and they will say this is the New Testament. Remember, though, And this is probably the most insidious ones, because they pretend that it's not equal to the Bible, but they treat it like it's equal to the Bible. It's very dangerous. That's why the Apostle Paul says, anyone who introduces anything, who changes the gospel that we preach, let him be anathema. That's in Galatians 1:18. That phrase there means, let him go to hell, the one who changes the word of God, or bring anything alongside of it. But let's read from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 together. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and one who trembles at my word. By the way, you see the poor in spirit being mentioned there, how it is properly to be interpreted. But he says, the one here, the one that he's looking for, the one who trembles at his word. You have that holy respect for God's truth, and therefore you're not going to bring anything alongside that word. Why is it such a big deal to attack the perfection of the Bible? As I often say, the two main doctrines that are attacked today in our society is the doctrine of God. We have a very poor view of God. We make him look like some grandfather in the sky and forget about all his justice. The other thing is the doctrine of the Word of God. We keep the Word of God, but we weaken it. And that's the devil's modus operandi. That's his way of operating. He loves to twist things a little bit. Keep the Word, make it look religious, make it look like we're holding the Bible, but change it. So why is this such a big deal? Those who add or subtract from the Bible or make anything equal to it or bring something alongside it are really saying the Bible is not perfect. If the Bible is not perfect, then you cannot take it as authoritative. But the holiness and perfection of the Bible make it authoritative. And we must not attack it at all, lest we bring judgment upon our heads. Second, the Bible is a source of faith. The Bible is a source of faith. Why would God give you this precious book? A person might give you a cookbook because he thinks you can't cook and he wants to help you. Or another person might give you a book about raising children because they want you to do a good job and they don't think you're doing a good enough job. Or a person might give you a book of love poems, maybe because they want you to love them, or maybe they want something else from you and they want to be sweet to you. Well, why did God give you the Bible? He did this because he loves you and he wants you to know what is critical for you. What is that thing that is critical? Well, God gave the Bible as this precious gift because he wants to guide you in your life. This ruler, this canon, this ruler is most needed at a time of, we call it relativistic society, changing values. What used to be wrong is okay now. And we need God's word to guide us there. Man is looking to science to save him. He thinks that he will be saved if he makes advances in medical technology. Here this past week, they announced this great finding in Israel where they think that they will have breast cancer cured within a year, regular good treatment for it. And that's good, but that doesn't save you. Saving the planet won't ultimately save your soul. Cleaning the air is good, but it wouldn't save you. Remember what happened in the time of the judges? What's the most popular phrase that occurred during the time of the judges? And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What was common then? Homosexuality, abuse of the poor, rape, corruption, injustice, idolatry, adultery. If you think of where we are today and you add in a few things, if you add in abortions that have become common and euthanasia, which is becoming more and more common, and drug abuse, you could have Canada being described in the book of Judges. See, man apart from God lives in anarchy, and he needs God's word to guide him in his life. But before you can come to that point, before you can come to living, learn to live for God, you have to go back, and God gave the Bible as the foundation of your faith, not just your life. He guides you in what you believe. Now, it's nice to have, for those who are not good in school, to have those Cliff's notes to help you pass your exam. But it's not sufficient as a foundation for faith. Confucius actually said some good things and might help you sound like you're wise if you are quoting him, but Confucius wouldn't lead you to Christ. The Bible is the sure foundation. A house that's built upon a poor foundation quickly falls apart, and it comes with a great crash. Let's read a couple of passages. John chapter 20, verse 31, together. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John saying, look, I could have written lots of things. He said, I could fill a whole library with what Jesus did. But the things that I wrote are things that will lead you to your salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Remember, the gospel is the whole Bible. The whole Bible is filled with good news. The Christian willingly believes by faith, without necessarily having scientific proofs, everything that's contained in the Bible. And to him, miracles are true because God says so. And his experience with God is that God always tells the truth. We see God's truth about our lives, about the world, about everything that we could verify. And when we don't always have the proof in our hands, we trust God because we know that he speaks the truth. And then God gave the Bible to confirm your faith. Not just how to live, not just how to be saved, but to give you that assurance in your heart that you are his, removing any doubt from your mind of your salvation and your sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The man of God may be complete. You don't need anyone else to tell you what to do or any other book than what the Bible says. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says together, therefore, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word is described as nourishing milk so you can be strong. The only cure for having doubts about your salvation is opening the unchanging Bible. This is so unlike ever-changing manuals or disappearing manuals, or using manuals for different models of the same appliance. God's word doesn't have to change. It's for all of us from all ages, male or female, young or old, rich or poor. The manual remains the same. Third, the Bible is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. You want to know how great this gift is? This gift is verified. You know, you have the certificate of authenticity for products that you have. Well, they could be printing those in bulk and just giving them out. Not only does this lead to salvation and sanctification, but this is, you have the certificate of authenticity in your heart. Now, of course, God spoke through holy men. God then preserve that word that he inspired men to write. And he gave it to men and they received it. But then God worked by his Holy Spirit to assure you that his word is true. The apostles and Jesus confirmed that God's word was true. Peter called Paul's words scripture, authoritative word of God. And with all of those things, you think it'll be enough, but yet God added the fact that his Holy Spirit confirms that word in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, together, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the Spirit of God who works in your spirit and helps you to receive the Word of God that was that's in the scriptures. Well, this confirmation of God's word by his Holy Spirit says something about how you are to reach the unbeliever. You know, sometimes we can get very mechanical, and we think if we've got all the right arguments, we'll blow away the non-believer and show him how wrong he is. But the truth is, you can do that 100 times, but unless the Spirit of God works in the heart of that person, he will never repent. Of course, that means you need to go with the prayer to God to say, work in that person's life. We try lots of things. Of course, we like social programs. We like to make our services more contemporary to meet the needs of the people or their felt needs. We adjust things because we think that's how we'll win people over. But no, it's just the word of God with the working of the Spirit that brings change to the hearts of the non-believers. Friendliness will just bring them to the door, maybe bring them in. But it's the word accompanied by the Spirit of God that will bring change. So be patient when you're sharing the gospel with someone. Maybe you've done so many, many times. But if you've done so 20 times and they don't understand the gospel, continue to pray that God will work through the gospel. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. You can't do the internal work that the Holy Spirit will do. So there's nothing wrong in doing social work. There's nothing wrong in digging wells or building schools or sending medical teams overseas to help people in impoverished countries. But it's the gospel, it's the word of God, accompanied by the Spirit of God, who works through your prayers to bring change to the hearts of people. And then fourth, the Bible proves its dignity and authority. It proves its dignity and authority. It doesn't matter. You know, I remember buying some Panasonic batteries once, and I went in the store, the man said, because I knew him, he said, don't buy those. Those are not real Panasonic batteries. Here are the real ones. And it was probably 2 or 3 times the price, because they have these imitation Panasonic batteries. He said, they won't last. Well, the Bible proves its dignity and authority, proves what it is from itself. The Bible is the accurate, beautiful, effective, excellent, and authoritative word of God. The Bible does what no other book could do. It perfectly prepares you, not for an exam, but for eternity. You know, there are writings, I know some of you were here, talked to in the past about some of the old Chinese script that no one can read anymore. The language changes. It's too old and forgotten. But look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's read together. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You talk about the wonder of the Scriptures, the proving of the Scriptures. We have hope. We have comfort that comes from it. Proverbs 22, 20 through 21, together. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who sent to you? You want to know excellent things? You want to know good counsel? You want to have solid knowledge? You go to the word of truth. You go to the Scriptures. It tells you exactly who you are. It tells you exactly the truth about who you are. You know, you read the books, you read many books. Modern psychology that really runs a lot of society today was based upon a lie that children are born perfectly pure. Tabula rasa, blank slate. Well, denies truth, and it's misled millions of people. Whereas the Bible speaks the truth. And that's where you know something is good. It doesn't tell people that, oh, it'll be okay. Isn't that the truth of every religion too? They tell you're born pure. That's why all the books, except the Bible, all these religious books are full of lies and mislead people. And then you consider the consistency of the Bible. Consider the consistency of all the parts and will leave you amazed. The Bible is made up of 66 books that were written over a period of more than 1,500 years by many different authors in many different countries. And yet they never contradict each other, but rather support each other and keep the same theme of the redemption of man through Jesus Christ. No one has ever proven the Bible wrong. And believe me, many have tried. But more than that, the Bible proves its authority and truthfulness by its prophecies coming true hundreds and hundreds of years later. You know, when men said man could never fly or go undersea in submarines, it didn't take long for people to be proven wrong. The Wright brothers, their own grandfather, who's a pastor, was very strict and rebuked them for some of their theories and said flight was only reserved for the angels. His grandsons didn't agree. We could fly to Europe in 7.5 hours. That's how they were proven wrong, what he was saying. And in fact, he preached that in a sermon. When the Bible predicts things, they always come true. The fall of Babylon. Well, even before that, the fall of Assyria. Before Assyria was even strong. The Bible was giving very specific descriptions of the rise of the Greek Empire when Greece was nothing, was not a very strong nation. Even the splitting of Greece into four parts and one part becoming greater of the four, such detail. Or the Roman Empire, Rome didn't even exist when the prophecies were made, and they came true to such specific ways. Think about the prophecies of Jesus. There are hundreds of prophecies about his life. So much so that it could not be another person in the history of the universe that these prophecies would be referring to, and they all came true in Jesus Christ. Then the destruction of Jerusalem. What a savage event that was, but God gave the details. In fact, the details were given back in the book of Daniel. And then Jesus confirmed that. How can you not trust something that has been proven to be true over and over and over again? In fact, our confession says that the evidence is so clear that even blind men can see it. This means God can confidently execute justice on those who know his word and reject it. You got no grounds for rejecting God's word. None at all. Remember Romans chapter 1, verse 32, and to chapter 2, verse 1. We read together. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable. What you see in nature, what you see in the Word of God, you don't follow God, you don't listen to his instructions, your life, you will be deemed to be inexcusable. We know this in theology as the autopistia of scriptures. This is a Greek phrase which means, or word which means, the scripture is self-authenticating or self-authoritative. The Bible proves itself. Let's conclude. The Bible is from God and is therefore holy and perfect. You can trust it with all your heart. The Holy Bible, which is for the whole world, tells man how to be saved and how to be sanctified. And this Bible is confirmed in your hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Bible confirms itself as well by its dignity and authority. No other book can make such claims. No other book. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is neither a hoax nor a forgery. It is the very word of God. And remember, God gave the Bible because he loves you. When you know and believe the holy, perfect, reliable, and beautiful Bible, your confidence in God will be strengthened. It's not just salvation, but it's a strengthening of your confidence in him. And then you will be able to bravely and personally serve God better. Only the brave will be able to confront the enemy. Faith makes you brave. Faith comes by reading and believing the word of God. So make every effort to study the Bible well. Teach it to your children in family worship. Be careful of becoming too busy, as we are in North America. There's so many activities, so many things to do, so many movies to watch, so many texts to type. But take the time to teach your children. Give it to your co-workers and friends. See, this is one of the inheritance you can give to your children. And you can give them now. This is something you can't squander. You know, you might be slaving to leave some good life for your children, a nice house and money in the bank that they never have to worry. But they can blow that. Many, many children have done the same thing to the things that people, parents have left for them. But they can never squander this one. The word of God enriches their lives. That's inside of them. They can't throw away. And this is what your children need most of all. Personal question, though. You might be doing this with your children, and good for you. Have you ever given anyone a Bible? Or when was the last time you gave someone a Bible? Or talk to them about Jesus? What's the use if you have bread and you keep it in your cupboard while people are starving? You've got. Remember the lady who had the flour jar empty? The more she started taking out, the more flour came. That's like the word of God for us. The more you give to others, the Lord will provide more and more. You're never short. The Lord will provide. So give the word of God. Give the word of God. If you share this word, others can learn of the Savior and they can be rescued from their sin and hopelessness. And if you're not a Christian, God is graciously giving you this opportunity to hear his word today so you can know what is in it. I pray that you will search out the scriptures and learn how to be saved from your sins and how to be separated from your sins. You don't have to look anyplace else. No other place will tell you how to really get rid of your sins. Really, this is the end of your searching. God's word is for you. Read it, believe it, live it, rejoice. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word now. So full of richness. It nourishes our souls after saving it. It secures our souls. It's confirmed by your spirit. We see its truthfulness by what's in it, its own dignity. It's self-authenticating. Lord, if we don't use this word, what excuse do we have? If we don't share this word with those who need that life-giving grace, how can we look at you in the face? You've given us this bread of life. Teach us to share it with others, that they too can be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.